I don't know if you ever realize this, but you really can't have a good guy without a bad guy. I don't know why, but you can't have a good guy without a bad guy. There has to be a bad guy in the good guy's life, like Superman has Lex Luthor, and Batman has the Joker, and Tom and Jerry, and there always has to be a bad guy. However, sometimes the bad guy's attacks are not from the outside, but from the inside. Tom and Jerry, Roadrunner and Coyote, all of these attacks are from the outside. But concerning Christianity, our attacks are very, very seldom from the outside, but they are constant from the inside. For the lesson today, I have a proof text and I have an illustrative text. We begin with the proof text. The proof text is found in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Romans 7, 15. If you're turning to that, let me say this while you do that. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is really doing the same thing that if he is the penman God used for the book of Hebrews, he's really doing the same thing in this context that he did in the book of Hebrews. He's showing the superiority of Christ over Moses, the superiority of heaven over Canaan, the superiority of Jesus' law over the law of Moses. And he's also showing the strength of the law of Christ and the weakness of the law of Moses. But right in the midst of this conversation, he has this special personal observation. I'm going to read the first part of our text, Romans 7:15, from the English Standard, and then I'm going to paraphrase, but follow along, make sure my paraphrase is accurate. First of all, Paul says, "For I do not understand my own actions." I do not understand my own actions. And then Paul goes on to say, this is what confuses me so greatly. I want to be good all the time. I want to be doing good all the time. And though that is my desire to do good and be good, from time to time I find myself doing just the opposite of what I want to be doing. And he equates this to an enemy, and he says, this enemy I hate, and that enemy is sin. Now, Paul here is not trying to shirk his personal responsibility. In fact, just the opposite. He's admitting that unless he pays special attention, and his teaching is, unless we pay special attention from time to time, sin is going to take control. We want to be good all the time. We want to do good all the time, but sometimes we find ourselves doing just the opposite of what we want to be doing and what we know we should be doing. And we need to be careful also, unless sin takes control of our life. And sin, as Paul says, is always there. And the devil is always there. And evil influence is always there. Paul realized that. We need to realize that as well. And though Paul was really one of those good guys, there was still a bad guy lurking. There was a villain lurking. And the villain is sin. Now, our illustrative text comes from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, I want to begin with verse 21. This incident takes place in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is up in the northern part of Galilee, above the Sea of Galilee. This seems to be one of the places. In fact, this might have been Jesus' favorite place to be up in the Galilee area. The story goes like this. One Sabbath, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. One Saturday, he's in the synagogue. And the whole multitude, everyone there, was listening to every word that Jesus made. In fact, Mark tells us that they were astonished, or they were amazed at his teaching. And then, right in the middle of his teaching, almost as if it comes from nowhere, we hear this voice, a demonic voice, cries out, "Let us alone. What do we have to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us?" Now, we get down to verse 25. Notice, though, Jesus does not respond to the man. He responds to this demon, this evil entity, whatever you want to call it, this evil experience. That's to whom Jesus responds. Verse 25, but Jesus rebuked him, rebuked this demon, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him," come out of this man. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed the man, that means to shake him violently. When this unclean spirit convulsed the man, the spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of the man. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, they were talking to themselves, "What is this? What's going on? What teaching does Jesus have? What new doctrine is he presenting that even he has the authority and commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him?" And then the Bible says his fame spread throughout Galilee. What a good story. A good story with good application. But notice again, Jesus didn't speak to the man per se. He spoke to this evil entity, this thing. And even after Jesus commanded this evil spirit to come out of the man, the spirit convulsed the man. He shook him violently. He didn't want to give up. But finally, he, of course, came out. Now, brethren, I don't think I have ever had an inner struggle that caused me to convulse. A demon's never shook me violently. But that's not to say I've never fallen under the influence of evil. That's not to say that I have never sinned, because John says if any of us claim that we can live above sin, the truth is not in us. He says we're only deceiving ourselves. But humanity has always had a problem doing what's right. Now listen. Humanity has always had a problem doing what's right when humanity wants to do what's wrong. All of us would have a problem doing right if we want to do what's wrong. And sometimes wrong wins. The people of Noah's generation didn't want to change. He preached repentance for over 100 years. They wanted to be wrong. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to be wrong. It's hard to do right when you want to do wrong. And again, sometimes wrong wins. Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and gave her husband, and he did eat also. Cain killed Abel, I'm sorry. Moses killed the taskmaster. David committed adultery. In fact, except for Jesus, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This man in our illustrative story was enslaved by this evil entity. He was enslaved by this evil spirit, the devil. He could not control even himself. Now, the Bible teaches that there are beings in the spiritual world which are just evil. Just like we know there are some people, it just seems they're mean people. They're evil people. Well, the Bible teaches there are evil spirits in the world. From the very first time we saw the devil in the Garden of Eden, evil has been here. Now, I think it is obvious that the devil's power has been curtailed. He cannot just overpower someone as he did in our story. He can't do that today. But he still is a tremendously powerful entity. His power, though, is in the area of influence. He is still around. He is still effective in influencing us to do evil. Now, I want to ask you two questions, but I want to come up with the right answer, so I'm going to give you the answer also. Do you think there are evil beings in the world that try to get non-believers? The answer is yes. Do you think there are evil beings in the world that try to get believers? Again, the answer is yes. Just like God is no respecter of persons, the devil is no respecter of persons. He wants everyone. Just like God wants all men everywhere to be saved, the devil wants all men everywhere to be lost. And let me give a dramatic pause here. The devil wants you, just like the devil wants me. The devil has you in his sights. Believer, non-believer, it doesn't matter. He wants you and he wants me. He is no respecter of persons. He wants us all. He wants the non-believer to stay in the world, and he wants us believers to forfeit the grace of God and go out into the world. And that's why John would later say, do not love the world. Do not love the things of the world. For all the things of the world are not of God. They belong to the world. They belong to the prince of the power of this world, and that is Satan. But then Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. We need to realize that. Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All of us have inner struggles. It would be silly to ask for a show of hands, because all of our hands would be raised. All of us have inner struggles, inner battles with which we must contend. But here's the good news. Jesus has the power to overcome the power of Satan. Jesus has the strength to give us so we can defeat Satan. So we can stand up to Satan and he will flee from us. Jesus wants us to win, and he has done everything he can and is still doing things to help us win this battle with evil. He wants us to be good guys, but there's always a bad guy, and that's why Jesus is there to fight with us and to fight for us. Because Jesus wants us to spend eternity in heaven. Do you remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray? Sometimes we call that the Lord's Prayer. Really, it's more of a model prayer, not just to be quoted verbatim, but to give us an idea of the things of which we need to pray. He said, begin correctly. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why would Jesus want us to remember that in our prayers if he was not going to do it? He is going to do it. If we pray, deliver me from evil, Jesus has enough strength and fortitude and might and authority to help us through any difficulty. Therefore, the next time we're struggling with sin, let's just pray and ask God to send Jesus to rescue us. He's not going to come to us visibly in the dark of the night, but he's going to teach us through his word how to overcome evil. He will help us repel evil, to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. He has the strength to give us the strength to win the battle for our soul. Jesus, at one time by prophecy, was referred to as the Prince of Peace. He still wants to be the Prince of Peace in our life, and he will be if we will let him. He wants to be, and he will be, if we will let him. He can do it if we will let him do it. And if we will work with him in our lives. Brethren, that's the good news. That's the best news I think we could possibly hear today. The devil wants us to stay out of heaven. Jesus wants us to go. Jesus will bring us freedom. He will set us free from sin and evil in our life. He will bring peace and comfort into our life. All of us struggle from time to time. We want to be good. We want to constantly be good, but the devil sometimes can convince us to do evil. We do sin, but God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We don't have to take this abuse. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says God will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says Jesus will be with us always, even to the very end. If we can't find comfort in those words, we can't find comfort. God has devised a plan to get us to heaven. It's a plan that can be worked in our lives. He wants us to be there so much, He sent Jesus to die for us. That's how much God wants us to be saved. And Jesus has given us everything we need. He's given us an avenue to the Father in prayer. We pray to God through Jesus. He's given us an example to follow. And even when we cannot live up to that example, He's made provision for us to find forgiveness and even find strength. If anything is going to bring us comfort, this should bring us comfort. But the comfort that Jesus offers is comfort that comes to His children. We'll say that we are His children, to His brothers and sisters. He is the shepherd. We are His flock. He is the groom. We are His bride. He's given it to the church. And He's also given a very reasonable and relatively easy plan for getting into the church. We hear, we believe, we turn from our sins, we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are baptized for the remission of those sins. All of that is easy. Now the difficulty comes after that, because that's when the devil will really, really, really concentrate on us. And therefore, as we use the scripture in our Bible class this morning, we need to demand or desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. We need to mature in Christ so that we can withstand the devil even easier. So if today there is someone who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, we'll get Mike to step up here. He will greet you. So if you need to respond to Jesus, won't you come as we stand and sing number 907? Won't you come today?